You're listening to a download from theoutdoorstation.co.uk. Number 445.
Hello and welcome back to The Outdoor Station and the follow-up podcast, if you like, to the previous one, number 444, where I mentioned we were heading off to La Belle France and using the home camper system for some of our accommodation this year. We were also taking, for the very first time, our Springer Spaniel Pip, and it was the first occasion either of us had taken the dog abroad. So in this podcast, I share our thoughts on the home camper experience and what it's like to take a pet abroad. By way of full disclosure, this was all done at our own expense, and home camper did not supplement our trip in any way. I was just basically curious to see how it all worked and how it differed from the traditional commercial campsites, of which there are many in France. If you didn't catch the interview I did with Etienne from Home Camper at the Adventure Travel Show earlier this year, the gist of it is that Home Camper have signed up all kinds of people with land in France, and further afield now, to offer camping spots in their back garden. Now, France is approximately five times the size of the UK, and most rural properties have more land than they know what to do with. So this could be a win-win situation. Something unique for the camper, cyclist, paddler or powered traveller, and maybe a small income for the landowner. Some locations are more elaborate than others. Maybe a small commercial campsite or a small farm park or vineyard or equestrian centre with the sort of full shower and toilet facilities, right through to just a piece of land or hard standing for, say, a camper van or caravan with no other extras. On the whole, though, as a generalisation, they're all in extremely rural places. Now, although the prices didn't work out as cheap compared to the commercial sites as I thought they would, what they do offer is interaction with your host, who more often than not, as we found out, love to chat, usually over an apéritif. Now, our journey also involved another first for us, which was Le Châtel, Folkestone to Calais, in just 20 minutes, while sitting in the comfort of your car, with full broadband and 3G services. Incredible under the water. Blink and you'll miss it. The departure area in the UK was probably akin to a large motorway services, with the usual shopping temptations and facilities. And this also included an excellent dog exercise area. I'd say well over 300 square metres, with water, exercise equipment such as poles and tables and tunnels and things for them to run through, and a rain shelter for wet, soggy humans. A plus, of course, the various bins for the obvious things that you want to get rid of. Now, keep that in mind, because when I mention later the facilities in France, you'll find that they differ enormously. So stay tuned for that later. As soon as you come out of the terminal in Calais, the road just takes you straight onto the motorway and you're away. There's no waiting for give-way signs or roundabouts. You're on the road and you get going straight away. In our case, we had family that were having a gathering down in the Bordeaux area. So our route roughly consists of Calais to Boulogne, and then we're going to further south to Abbeville, down past Rouen to Le Mans and Tours, and then down to where we were staying. That's roughly the route that we'd set in our mind. So as you'll hear in these excerpts coming, the first location that we decided to stop at and camp at was actually a place called Burke Plage, which is twice the distance to Boulogne from Calais, really, about an hour from Calais. And it was in somebody's back garden in a sort of, yeah, fairly rural village type location. But I'll let the piece explain exactly how that was. From there, we made our way along the motorways, some toll roads, and we tried to sort of keep off those, really, but as we weren't in a particular hurry. But sometimes it was just easier and more inevitable that you end up on a toll road down to Le Mans, and then just south of Le Mans was the second location for the home camper. After that, we then spent a week further down, as I say, south in the Bordeaux area, before making our way back, mainly up the west coast, before heading into Normandy and then back to Calais. So that was the circuit of the route that we were taking. I think, as I probably mentioned in the last podcast, we hadn't been to France for probably more than 10 years now, 10 or 12 years, I guess. And France, to me, or to us, has always been an affordable place if you keep things fairly simple. However, we did notice this year, obviously, with the exchange rate and Brexit and all the various other things that were going on, the exchange rate was basically a euro to the pound. And petrol and a lot of basics were really much more expensive. Petrol, for example, was 1.50 a litre compared to, what, 1.10, 1.12 here at the moment. The food, when we went to the supermarket, was at times horrendous. The wine, which is always the part of France that I expect most people think of fondly, was a similar price. You just got a better quality wine for the same price. In fact, the only thing that we noticed across the board that was significantly cheaper in France, would you believe, was Scotch, was whiskey. It was definitely a saving of £5 or £6 on a good quality Scotch, which took me by surprise, really. But there are a few other things as well which were more expensive. The campsites themselves didn't work out too bad, to be honest. The home camper prices, I think, were about the sort of 12, 15 euro price range. When I had looked at the commercial sites in high season, because we went during high season, but we came back just after high season, the prices seemed to be more around the 20 to 30 euro price. However, on the way back, we did stop at a commercial site and it was, I think, about 12 euros. So, yeah, very affordable. But on the whole, we just had to watch the pennies. And, you know, we tend to keep things fairly humble, really, for our particular needs. So it was noticeable. There is an understandable fear when you're in France and there's a lot of toll roads which you sort of get guided onto, that it might work out a little bit on the pricey side. And I suppose it really depends how you view the investment in your time to get to various places in France. Somebody else in the family did as one day. They drove from Calais down to Bordeaux, which is a fair run. They did start off very, very early and they actually made good time. I think they crossed at Calais about 7 o'clock in the morning and they were down in the Bordeaux area by 5 o'clock, which is fair going. They stuck to toll roads all the way and I think they paid in total about £33 or 33 euros as their toll fees to get there. But they had a good run. There's plenty of areas to stop and obviously rest, which they did on numerous occasions, and made good time. So it's surprising just how well you can get across the country should you need to. And it doesn't really break the bank. Okay, so let's now get into the actual recordings that I made at the three different locations. As I say, the first two were on the way down to Bordeaux. The third one was after we left and just started to head our way north with the intention of going to the coast, South Brittany, before heading up to the Normandy area. But as you'll hear later, things changed and that didn't quite go to plan. So the first two are, as I say, just south of Boulogne, the first one. The second one is between Le Mans and Tours. And the third one is heading away from Bordeaux. Well, this is my first homecamper.com experience. And I find myself, the first night of my journey to France this year, sitting in someone's back garden. It's quite a pleasant back garden. As back gardens go, it's probably best part of an acre. All flat mowed lawn. And in a very, very quiet little neighbourhood. Just outside a village called Verton, which is to the east of Berwick Plage, or Berck-plage, depends how you want to pronounce it, B-E-R-C-K. And the host, David Marchand, has been very pleasant, welcomed us in, parked the car in their back of their garden, and invited us to use the tent that was already established, so we actually haven't had to pitch a tent, which was great. So we fed Pip the dog, who is fascinated by these new scents of French aromas that she's sniffing around the hedges and around the grounds. We've enjoyed a picnic supper that we brought with us. And as you can hear, it's really, really quiet. Very, very pleasant. So as a first experience from home camper, it is literally just that. We've got a toilet and shower that we have access to from the outside. And everything we need, really. I know we're just passing through on the way to the south of France, but I thought it'd be a fascinating experience to try this and see how we get on. It's got a young family who are playing in the garden as we arrived, and they're slowly going to bed now. And the time is, what, 9:15 French time. Crossed over with Le Shuttle. First time we've used the shuttle as well. That was a fascinating experience. Isn't it amazing in technology, eh? So the shuttle takes 25 minutes, and here I was underneath the English Channel, and I had full 3G access. So I was chatting and texting and whatever people as I did that. And where I live in the heart of Worcestershire, I struggle to get one bar on a normal phone, let alone 3G. And you can actually get it under the water. Ridiculous, really. But thankfully, the old 3G is working well in this area as well, because a lot of these homes are going to be down very small roads, which are not very clearly defined on the map itself. But the dog is content. She's been fed. She's had a run around the garden, so she's burned off a bit of energy, because obviously she's been stuck in the car for the last few hours. We set out this morning at, 10 o'clock-ish. Made it down to the ferry point at, the tunnel for about 3 o'clock-ish, crossed at 4-ish, and we're in France, La Belle France. Rose is very patiently sitting here, doing what she does normally. She's got a Kindle out, which hasn't been her saviour for the books that she loves to read, so no longer do we have to carry a huge, great pile of books. And she's obviously content.
I was going to say, what's not to be content? Holidays are all about reading. It's just bliss to be able to just read.
So what do you think then? First experience of this home camper at this person's back garden?
Yeah, it's certainly novel. I mean, it's nice and quiet, and we had a chat to him. He hasn't been doing it that long, but he's really obviously quite enjoying having different characters and practicing his English, and he's got a young family and little dog, and very welcoming. He said he could sort us out a barbecue for tomorrow if we were stopping. And
yeah, indeed. And in fact, we stopped for directions because we hadn't found the right turning. And there's a place a couple of hundred yards away that sells fresh mussels.
And there was a pizza van in the village as well.
Oh, yeah, and a tobacco. So we could have really gone for it tonight in a big way. So that's a little mini review of where we are. Very nice, as in very quiet, very peaceful, considering we're not very far from the main motorway, I guess. The dusk is definitely setting. There's a certain dampness in the air. But value for money? Well, I think I'm just looking at the figures here. It cost me €16, just over €16, which, as we were just passing through, I think is fantastic value for money. Anyway, tomorrow we're jumping back on the motorway and heading further south, and our second home camper destination is somewhere between Le Mans and Tours in the Loire Valley. So I'm looking forward to sampling some of that famous Loire wines that we hear so much about.
The home of UK-based audio and video podcasts for lovers of the great outdoors everywhere.
It's all about getting out and having much more fun.
So what have we learned today on day two of our exploration across France using the homecamper.com network? Well, I think we discovered that if you drive along the toll roads it can add up, especially if you take a wrong turn and end up going in completely the wrong direction before you had to get off the toll road to turn around to come back again and get back where you wanted to be. But I'm not pointing any fingers at the navigator. But to get from Burke Plage down to south of Le Mans, coming down the west coast, I think cost around 30, 35 euros, which is about 30, 35 pounds. It's basically a pound and again for the euro at the moment, the exchange rate. So what else have we learned? Well, our hosts at our second location, which is halfway between Le Mans and Tours, close to the Loire Valley, really. In fact, very close to Château de Loire, have been charming and very hospitable. And we're currently camped in their 2-hectare garden, which is landscaped and looking beautiful. And we were given the full tour by Dominique of all his crops and vegetables and fruit, of which he has got copious amounts. And he also showed us his new gîte that they'll be renting out next year, which was very good if you want to come to this area and explore and use it as a base. And again, very affordable. Chatting to them, it was quite interesting. They, for their holidays, they head south. They've got a camper van and they head south. But I was saying that in the UK now, that really camping by the coast in a camper van is pretty well forbidden everywhere. And they were saying the same thing about France, which I hadn't realised. However, if you camp in the forests or any of the sort of rural parking areas, nobody really bats an eyelid. But the most interesting thing was the fact that supermarkets do not have a problem with camper vans camping over in the evening. Obviously, as long as they're gone by 9 or 10, I think he said, in the morning, they don't have a problem, and just for one night. But that's worth knowing if you're ever travelling past, because the supermarkets seem to be the only shops that are open these days. It's about 10 years since we came to France, mainly the Brittany, Normandy area, is an area that we're sort of semi-familiar with over a period of years. But so many villages now do not have a single shop. They might have a tobacco if you're lucky, but the drink driving laws now in France are so minimal, it's virtually zero tolerance, that it must have affected a lot of the rural community socialising areas, restaurants and bars and that sort of thing. The number of properties that we have seen today for sale just along this route have been numerous. Now, we're told that Château de Loire has been bought up predominantly by lots of very wealthy British people that own classic cars, by all accounts. But down in Tours, it's all second homes for Americans, for whatever reason. But there does seem to be a dividing line between the English and the distance they travel and the Americans. Perhaps we'll find out more when we go through it tomorrow. Once again, we have a tent provided, which is one of these sort of family camping, four-berth twin pod things, which is adequate and comfortable, and it saves me sticking our Octopeak up. The dog is exceedingly happy, just sitting here by our feet, staring at the various wildlife that's wandering around the garden and getting very tempted to chase something. Once again, we can't seem to get away from the sound of donkeys. There was a donkey in the next field of last night's garden, and there's obviously donkeys next door here, which you might hear as I do this recording. But otherwise, it's just before 9 o'clock, and it's a very pleasant, balmy evening, sitting here in shorts and t-shirt. So I will disturb Rose's reading, because she's avidly reading her Kindle, and she's miles away in some sort of book or other. Probably, is it fairy tales this time? Vampires? Teenage fiction?
I'm reading a classic.
Okay, a classic. That's a new description for it. So do you reckon this home camper idea could take off in the UK?
I don't see why not, although most people don't have gardens this size.
Oh dear, have we got our posh voice on because we're sitting in somebody's very large garden?
Well, can you imagine? I mean, most gardens are not anywhere near, and people who have this size garden probably wouldn't want people camping in it.
No, I was thinking, referring back to our two recent walks, the Cotswolds Way and obviously the Two Moors, I would have Yeah, I'd be more than happy to camp in somebody's garden if I just had access to a loo and some water.
Yeah, I suppose it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I was a bit concerned last night that we had a key to the toilet and shower, but also the children were sleeping in that area.
Yeah, that was very trusting of the person concerned, admittedly. And yes, that would make me feel uncomfortable in the same situation. But this situation is, we have a nice, well, kitchen, toilet, shower, completely separate to the house. Admittedly, it's some distance away from where we are, but that's aside. I mean, it's a charming place to stay over, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what's really nice is not having lots of other people. You know, on a campsite, sometimes campsites actually can be really noisy. And because we're the only people here, it is really lovely and quiet.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
One of the things that you were saying, I was listening, was about the Americans. Apparently the Americans come down to tours to see all the chateaus and do the history, and the British come further up to Le Mans for the cars. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, well, there was lots of... basically, he was saying there was just lots of expensive Bugattis and Lamborghinis and cars from the 1940s and 50s, so it's obviously a slightly different financial bracket to our little Fiesta as we're passing through the area.
Right, absolutely.
So that brings, experience number two to an end. We do have one more booked, and once we've finished our few days with the family in the south of France, we may visit a few more. So I shall add a bit to this as we go along. Just a point of clarification, Home Camper are not sort of sponsoring these podcasts or have compensated us in any way. This is purely our experience using the service. And I think it's got legs. I could see how it will appeal to a lot of people. And Dominic was saying that we are the fourth people, I think he said, that's visited since they started back in June. Basically young families, similar to us, passing through.
Young families? We're not young families.
Oh, you're right. I was thinking of our younger days.
I mean, if you knew there was definitely going to be a tent here too, I mean, that would save a lot, wouldn't it? I mean, it saved us time. And it's definitely cheaper than the commercial sites as well. I mean, okay, you haven't got swimming pools and all the rest of it, but I mean, there's badminton here, and she was saying that they got toys for the children and things.
And fruit to pick, and you are in a very nice large garden, and to all extensive purposes, there's nobody else here, is there?
No, and hospitality. I mean, they asked us down for an aperitif, and we sat chatting, and they brought out
some canapés,
and a very nice bottle of... Well, you looked at the label. What was it?
Bubbles.
It was Loire, Chateau Loire.
A local vineyard, which was really nice. Yeah. So yeah, we're set for the evening, really. As you say, if we knew there was a tent here, I wonder if you could actually do the whole thing all the way through. I suppose all you need to do is go on the website. The website, I have to admit, does need some improvement. I can't say it's basic, that's unfair, but there's not many pictures of the locations that give an accurate description of what it's like. And the sort of conversation, it's hard to have a conversation with a potential host to ask them a question if you have a particular query about something. However, having said that, if you accept it's done in the best of intention and the spirit of the thing, if you ever try it, I'm sure you'll appreciate it. Anyway, I'm going to continue reading my book and chat to you later. As you can hear, my gas cooker is making all sorts of complaining noises. I have no idea why. It must be the way the wind's blowing across the top of it. But we've had a few days down in the south of France with family, which was lovely. And we've come back, slowly heading our way back north, somewhere near we're just north of Saumur, which is in the heart of the Loire Valley, where all the, well, in my opinion, some of the best wines come from, which is obviously breaking my heart to go into the supermarket and have to try every single one, especially the sparkling wines. Some beautiful wines around here. But that's by the way. So we are at the third location for the homecamper.com. The place is called La Fortinière, which may be familiar to some listeners if they are fans of the UKcampsites.com. It's advertised on there, and they've recently joined the homecamper.com network, if you like, to see how it goes. But as locations go, this is absolutely glorious. Of course, that all depends on what you actually want and looking for in a campsite. But for us, a quiet place, off the beaten track, no great family noises or nighttime parties and that sort of stuff is what we're all about. And you couldn't actually get more remote than this. And in fact, their website, which is, where is the website address? Lafortiniere.com. Fortinerie. That's right. So Lafortiniere.com. And they describe it as possibly the most tranquil, quiet campsite in the Loire Valley. And I don't think we would disagree, would we, Rose?
No, can't hear a thing. Actually, even not many birds. It's so, so quiet.
Indeed, they've got, I think, a couple of acres, basically, as I say, tucked off the main drag. So quiet, in fact, when this gas cooker's not going, you cannot hear a thing. Occasional bit of birdsong, and the air is just actually tastes really clear, doesn't it? Pure air.
You just sat there smelling it all in yesterday.
I have. Just
glass of wine in hand, of course.
As if. So they are licensed for, was it six placements?
Yeah, six.
Six placements, maximum of 20 people. So if you book through their normal website or ukcampsite.com or use the home camper. But it's all a nice level area, semi-cops, few trees, just great location.
There's one toilet, flushing toilet, and one hot shower and one hot water basin. And then there's a sink outside, which apparently is converted from the donkey shed. And then there's a basin for washing up, basically, which is cold water, and a drinking tap. All very clean, spotlessly clean.
And the hot water is hot. It's good to know that if you do want a hot shower, obviously, or a shave or whatever, it's good to have a hot water which is decent, you can rely on. In fact, some of the comments that are actually mentioned against the website actually say good quality shower.
And it was, what, €12, I think, for both of us in the tent?
Yeah, they do a one-off price, €12 for two people and a accommodation, and then I think it's an additional €5 for each person on top. But they're an English couple, John and Mary North. They've been here, how many years did they say?
20, I think.
20 years, and this has been going, I think, about 7 or 8 years. Rose is just diligently stirring our big ratatouille we're cooking tonight on the gas burner, so I'm holding the handle of the pan because the last thing we want is for tea to go all over the floor. And we've actually erected the tent for the first time. Good grief. The Octopeak F8 is sitting nicely in front of us. In fact, we've erected it twice here. We got here and started to pitch because they were out and they'd left a note on the door saying, Bob, pitch where you like and you're on your own sort of thing. So we pitched the tent in a nice spot and then he came and told us that actually we were at 6 feet away from some fallen fruit which was being infested by hornets. So naturally we thought it'd be better to move it somewhere else. So we moved it to the opposite corner, which is by a little barbecue-y type wooden table thing, and all is right with the world.
Oh, no, nobody else here either. It's we've got the campsite to ourselves.
Well, it's the end of the sort of holiday season in France. On Monday, what day is Monday? Is that tomorrow or the
tomorrow.
Day? Tomorrow is Monday. All the schools go back in France. So 4th of September, and obviously the English schools aren't very similar as well. So it's the last of the end of the holiday season, which works well for us. But certainly we're on our own. Pip the dog has been quite happily wandering around the area and then coming back to us, and she's sitting in front of us now.
Yeah, I've just been out with her sort of around the area. I think I saw one car in about 40, 50 minutes. And just really pretty area, very wooded, very densely wooded. Saw a deer while I was out. All sorts of trees, wild honeysuckle, fabulous wildflowers. I picked a whole bunch for the table. Yeah, it's just a really pretty area.
So as you can tell from our enthusiasm, a location recommended, probably different to the first two that we visited, in the sense they were definitely somebody's back garden. This is more a case of, this is a very small sort of licensed campsite, which are you also using the home camper network. And I think the next one we've got, which is up in South Brittany, that's a couple of nights there as well, much closer to the coast. And that one is probably very similar to this. And then the final one, after we visit some friends in Normandy, is somewhere near Boulogne. And again, I think that's just literally a farmer's field. So we'll see how we pan out, and we will certainly reflect upon it. But so far, it's been a nice, affordable way of having a camping break in France, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly less expensive than the commercial sites. But I mean, even this one's got hookups if you came with a camper van.
That's true, yeah, they've got a couple of electric hookups. And the location is 5 minutes from the nearest supermarket, which is good for most things. Right, well, we'll catch up with you next time, which, will, as I say, will be South Brittany, and I'll fill you in where that is and see what the site is like.
To subscribe to our show, please follow the instructions on our website or search for us in the iTunes directory.
We made our way to the site in South Brittany, just to the west of Redon, in a small, remote location near Questembert, which is not far from the coast. The location was a very rural, small holding on a slight rise, and when we arrived, there was another French family setting up camp there, also using the home camp experience. Also present were numerous chickens, ducks, rabbits, cats, and dogs freely roaming. And these facilities included a solar shower and compost toilet, which were clean and tidy. Now, our spaniel Pip came from shooting stock, and she unfortunately has a hunt kill streak in her a mile wide. So she was beside herself pulling at the lead with all these hunting opportunities presented before her: chickens, ducks, rabbits, and cats. So we both knew straight away that any idea we had of a peaceful, stress-free camp had gone out of the window. Obviously, she was on a lead, but if she had slipped off at any stage, we just would have been beside ourselves, concerned that she was obviously creating some damage. Now, it's a problem we've had with her since we brought her home from the pack. She's a lovely and calm-natured dog, as spaniels go, but her focus on the hunt kill is unbreakable, try as we might. So we gave our apologies and continued north to a commercial site by the lake at Pleurme, which, due to the high season ending that weekend, worked out as cheap as the home camper service. And naturally, as it was the end of high season, the campsite was fairly quiet, so it was much less stressful. The whole incident brought home the same issue for the next booking on the home camper network, which was to be at a small farm park, so we decided to cancel that as well. After all, it was supposed to be a stress-free holiday, and it had become anything but for me. Thankfully, we have friends in Normandy, and so we stayed with them for the remaining few days and took Pip to the vet for her compulsory worm injection, which has to be done between 5 days and 24 hours of your return trip. And then we headed off to the Le Shuttle for a ridiculously early crossing. Taking the dog to France and the return journey, for those interested in taking their pet with them, was actually fairly painless, to be honest, providing you obviously have the right injections before you leave and the dog needs to be chipped, which does get checked at check-in on France and the UK. And then you have this worming tablet or injection that it's got to have within 5 days and 24 hours of it returning. And they check that as well, particularly in France, actually. They're much more particular in France with checking the documentation, strangely enough, than they are in the UK. But providing you stick to the rules, it seemed to be fairly easy from that point of view. As regards travelling with the dog, well, I have to say our spaniel is exceedingly good. She travels in the footwell in the passenger side, and she quite happily curls up there. And we naturally take a break every couple of hours should we need to. And the A roads and the toll roads and the motorways, sort of dual carriageway type motorways, all have got reasonable rest areas, which are well signposted in advance. And if you see the little tree sign, it usually means it's a big picnic area with tables and usually toilet facilities and occasionally beverages and sort of snack bars and that type of thing. Toilets can be a little bit unpleasant, as they can be in any rural location, but at least it's there should you need it. But from the point of view of the dog, it was great. She got out, stretched her legs, had some water, did what you had to do, had a wander around while we had a sandwich, and then jumped back in the car and we carried on our particular route. So on the whole, taking the pet, the way that we travelled with the pet was relatively easy. Now, I did mention that there was a big difference between the dog area in France, exercise area, and in the UK, and it was almost the polar opposite. The location in France is probably smaller than the UK setting, with obviously the same type of facilities. However, they all closed, I think it was either 11 o'clock or midnight, leaving no facilities available should you want a coffee or something similar. But when it comes to the animal exercise area, it was unbelievable. The area was a sort of squeezed on between two rows of cars in the car park, and it couldn't have been bigger than 15 square metres. I mean, really, really small. So much so, the door to the, or the gate to the exercise area didn't close or lock properly. There was no bins in there, and interestingly, there was no water. In fact, when I actually hunted around, there was no fresh, free, cold tap water anywhere on the site. Because when you went to the toilets in the site, everything that came out of the tap was a medium warm water to wash your hands. So I actually went to reception and asked her if there was a tap somewhere, I'd missed it, that we could refresh the dog with. And she did look at me askance, and then she started to think about it herself, and she could clearly see that actually there wasn't any fresh, free water anywhere. Now, that's something I thought under European ruling, it's supposed to be available to anybody who asks for it. Anyway, it have resulted in her saying, well, look, if you give me the bowl, I will go to our toilets and I'll fill it up for you there, which was good of her and I appreciated that. But it is something to be aware of. And also, to be honest, for me, France are supposed to be a nation of animal lovers. I'm really, really surprised that potentially in really warm weather, you would have your dog with no area of exercise, no shelter, no water, and no facilities. So it did surprise me, and that's something to be aware of if you are travelling on the shuttle, is to make sure that you take some bottles of water for you and also for your dog. So that pretty well brings me to the close. I just wanted to share the experience with you. I think Home Camper in concept is really, really good. I think if you had time to indulge and travel around France, I'm sure there are many, many sites which would be interesting. Unfortunately, we didn't get to the Champagne area that I did mention in the previous podcast, but I would expect that to be equally entertaining. And if you were self-powered cycling, I don't know about paddling, but I should imagine there's some sites close to the canals and lakes, there is opportunity for interesting accommodation. Value for money? Yeah, I think it was good value for money. As I say, certainly in high season, France can be pretty expensive. So I think the opportunity and the interest level is there. To use the website is okay. It's not difficult to book. It's difficult to have a conversation with a potential booking. So they don't appear to encourage that, and I'm going to have a word with Etienne to see if that can be improved. So if you wanted, for example, to ask how far away a particular location was from a supermarket or something else that was important to you, there's actually no facility to do that. It basically, the first correspondence that you have with a host is a potential booking request, which isn't very convenient, really, should you have particular needs. But otherwise, the concept's good. I could see it expanding quite easily across the rest of Europe. You never know, it may even come to the UK as well. So that's my experience of using Home Camper this time round. If you wanted to have a look at some of the photographs or the links to the various places we went or to Home Camper itself, you'll find that over on the show notes on theoutdoorstation.co.uk. So, until next time, folks. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorstation.co.uk.